Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
So as you guys know, I'm Darren. Hi. Just a quick introduction of myself. I'm from Pretoria, so it's kind of like going back home. this time, planning to be the influence instead of being influenced by Pretoria, by the grace of God. what's awesome is, when I think about how the past 5 years has really been a growing curve for me, just experiencing God's grace, and I like to reflect often on like a yearly basis, just how I've grown, where have I, like, what have I gone through, what areas has God taken me out of. And some of you might have heard this testimony when I shared earlier in the year, but I really come from a place where I was afraid of people. I had a tremendously low self-image. I suffered from depression as well. And it's really been awesome how just focusing on relationship with God has taken me from a place where being afraid to face people, you know, being afraid to interact with them, worried about what people think of me, that I could stand here now and talk to you guys. You know, it's really nothing that I sought out to do. It's not something I was like, oh, I need to fix myself, I need to be confident. Bam, now here I am. You know, it's really just a maturity process that heals these things. You know, it comes down to understanding who you really are, what Jesus really has done for you. And so the thing that I really want to highlight in my message today is, where do you have your confidence? Depending on what you have your confidence in is how you will value yourself, how you'll feel about yourself. If your confidence is in the stock market, when the stock market crashes, where is your confidence? Right? If your confidence is in your business and suddenly politics gets involved and your business is taken away, where does that leave your confidence? So, to bring up Hebrews 4, verse 16. Got it up there. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Where you put your confidence in will determine how you approach the throne of grace. If you feel like you're not good enough to face God, how are you going to approach Him to get your grace and mercy? If you feel like you need value somewhere else, you're not going to be able to approach God. And, you know, this isn't like a uniform thing. Maybe you feel like when you're ministering to someone, you've got enough confidence, boom, you know, God is there. But then when it comes to finances, that's tough. You know, I don't see grace here. God obviously has a problem with me in this area. That's why I'm not seeing the blessing. Should I stand a bit back? You know, so it's not like, oh, I have a confidence in every, like, one thing and boom, everything is sorted. It's experiencing where your confidence is in different areas in your life and then seeing how that translates, you know. So, and also, what we put our confidence in will affect how we approach other people. You know, if you have certain ideas about someone, or you feel I'm vulnerable when it comes to public speaking, very appropriate, then when you're speaking, you're going to be so self-conscious that someone could just have an itch in their eye, and you're like, oh, this person doesn't like what I'm saying. Oh, you know? If let's think about it, a professional sports player, a tennis player. If someone booed him in the crowd, you know, does he like just throw his racket down and run off because, you know, I'm not good enough anymore? Oh, woe is me. You know, it really, you need to understand that there's a place for us Christians to have confidence that is consistent. You know, that consistency restores confidence. If you have confidence in an area that keeps fluctuating, you're going to lose confidence in that area. But if you have confidence, thank you for that. If you have confidence in something that is consistent, it will reaffirm your confidence. Your confidence will grow in that. So, you know, having come from that background of feeling kind of worthless and coming out of it, I was thinking, so what were what was the core behind my thinking? Where was my confidence before? Where is it now? And I wanted to share this with you because, you know, being around, a lot of us often struggle with our self-image or self-worth, you know, and, you know, it often leads to depression or it leads to maybe resenting God because he's not providing for you in a certain area. And that really isn't God's heart, you know. So the first thing that I realized is I had confidence in my morality, how pure I am, how righteous I am. Now, the problem with that is I knew me very well. I wasn't that righteous or pure or holy, you know. Who of you are perfect? Oh. Hey, welcome, Devin. You know, none of us are there. So if our confidence is in our morality, when you slip up, guess what happens to your confidence? Gone. You know? And then what does that do more? Now you can either put yourself under more pressure. Ooh, you know, I need to do this so that I can get my confidence back. You know, buy that book with the 6 steps of how to be more confident. You know, or fake it till you make it. I'm sorry, I mean, it might have short-term benefits, but beyond that, you're just going to fall on your face again. Take it from me, if anything else. But I'm pretty sure most of you know what I'm talking about. So, if it is in your morality, then, this will keep fluctuating. It's unstable. So if we could bring up Hebrews 8 verse 12, please. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. God doesn't remember anything we do wrong. Right? There it is. There's the truth. So if your confidence was to be something placed in what you do, then God wouldn't value your confidence. Because he doesn't remember the things you do wrong. You know? Your efforts don't gain you any brownie points. Now, don't get me wrong. It's awesome to do good things in the name of Jesus. Right? But your efforts won't contribute anything to your confidence. So, Hebrews 10 verse 12. I'm going to read the Amplified here just because it has a little bit more description to bring out. Whereas Christ, having offered the one sacrifice, the all-sufficient sacrifice of himself, for sins for all time, sat down, signifying the completion of atonement for sin, at the right hand of God, the position of honor. Jesus was the all-sufficient sacrifice for sin. So if your confidence is based on something you need to do, then you're saying Jesus wasn't enough. You might not be thinking that deliberately, but it comes down to the core issue. Jesus wasn't enough for you. You know? So my thinking is that if I have confidence in what Jesus has done, my confidence has got nothing to do with me. Amen? Confidence got nothing to do with someone else. My confidence has got nothing to do with the way the world operates. You know, the next music pop trend, if I know it or not, or how to dress smartly. Thank you, Cheryl, that I can. You know, some of you know the background story there. But it really, like, it's such a temporal thing. And we're so easily distracted and place our confidence in things. It's so easy to be swept away and be like, oh, Bitcoin is coming up. It's booming. I need to put my money in there. I'm going to be rich. Boom. And then people can like me and I'll be good enough to have friends. You know? Yeah. Thank you, mate. It does suck. Who wants friends just because they're after your money? Right? Suddenly you lose money because Bitcoin is no longer the in thing. Where's your friends? Hey? I remember when I was in university, back in my party days, things were going well, dad's business was doing good, got decent pocket money, and I was partying every night. And I was one of those guys, I loved buying drinks for everyone, you know, it was my way. Only when I had enough alcohol was it safe for me to chat to people, because they probably wouldn't remember the next day, so I was fine. And, you know, I had so many friends. I couldn't believe it. You know, I was depressed, I was alone, I didn't know how to talk to people unless I had some Dutch courage, as the phrase would go. And there was people asking me to go out every night, you know. And then it got to a point, suddenly, you know, problems hit the economy. My dad couldn't help me, you know, give me money anymore. Dropped out of university. And things go a bit south. And now it's like, oh, where's my friends? I'm still asking that question, where are those friends? You know, because now suddenly I'm not partying with them anymore, I'm not doing what they're doing, I'm not buying them drinks, you know, now that means I'm not interested in them anymore. You know? If your confidence and your friendships with people is based on something of the world, it's just going to fall flat somewhere along the line. In Isaiah 43, 25, we got it there. Let me read this version first. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. In the Message, it says, but I, yes, I, am the one who takes care of your sins. That's what I do. I don't keep a list of your sins. Jesus doesn't keep a list of your sins. God doesn't keep a list of your sins. The Holy Spirit doesn't keep a list of your sins. What Jesus does is he takes care of your sins. It says there, this is what I do. What does Jesus do? Amen. That's his job. That's what he did. So why focus on it? Why are you trying to do it? It was something I was trying to do until I knew this is the purpose of Jesus. You know? The more you try and add to what Jesus has done for you, the more you're negating the effect of it, the fullness of it. What did it say earlier? The all-sufficient sacrifice. Right? If God took care of all of our sins through Jesus, then our confidence is nothing in morals. If God's not holding anything against you, this means that your efforts have no factor. I know I'm repeating myself here, but I'm trying to drive a point. You know, our confidence should be in Jesus. So then the second lie I had, or the second area I realized where I was putting my confidence, was in religion. In this context, the law. You know? So, if your confidence is in the religion or legalism or in the law of Moses, then do you understand what the purpose of the law was? If Jesus came, actually, I'm jumping ahead now. Let me slow down. So I used to believe that, okay, you know, my confidence depended on my morality. I couldn't clean me up, so I thought the law could. You know, it's so subtle. I mean, it's only thinking back now that I was like, ah, that was silly. If you're there, there's no condemnation. Here's the truth. Hopefully it will set you free. Know it. But, you know, it comes down to that is, I'm not clean enough. Fall on my face. Can't do it myself. So I need something that can. Read the Bible. Start at the beginning of the Bible of Genesis. You know, a lot of things there. And then everything is like the Ten Commandments, you know, boom. This is what you need to do. This is how you become right. Awesome. I can do this. And then you try and you're like, ooh, I slipped up. Okay, God is upset with me again. That's why I'm being punished. Let me go again. You know, try again. And after a while, I realized that the more I focused on the old covenant, the worse my self-image became. I didn't understand why. How is it that God's instruction made me feel worse about myself? It got to a point where I really tried to isolate myself as far as I can. I've got a friend sitting here that can testify. I dropped off the radar for quite a while. And it's quite an interesting thing once you discover the purpose of the law. So if we go to Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. No flesh shall be justified. Some translations that justification is righteousness. Your flesh cannot make you righteous. Sounds like you guys are really taking this in. Your flesh cannot make you righteous. Nothing in the physical can make you good enough in the eyes of God. The purpose of the law was the knowledge of sin. I've got here in the NLT, the law simply shows us how sinful we are. How can you get clean from something that shows you just how dirty and nasty you are? You know? Thank Jesus he came to wash our feet. You know? I mean, I was so zealous for the law at a point in my life. I was going for it. And the more excited I got, because, you know, what's nice about the law is it's really your step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, done. Tick, 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 tick. Easy. It's easy to be a Christian. Until you actually realize what you're trying to do. Right? So, I mean, I got to a point where I didn't believe I was good enough for God. I didn't believe I was good enough for my family. I wasn't good enough for friends. I wasn't good enough to have any goals or dreams. You know, it really got me to a point where I was just drifting. I think someone that was drifting had more momentum than I did. You know, I was just going nowhere. I remember my dad came to me the one day, and he was like, listen, son, I know we don't get along very well, but what's going on here? You know, we need to take you to see a psychiatrist or something again. And I didn't really care to go and see one, because what's the point, right? So, thanks, Peter. It really is. What's the point? You know, if the law shows you just how sinful you are, you know, then, I mean, at that point, then I got to a point where I was like, you know what? God is telling me just how imperfect I am. He clearly doesn't care. And if God doesn't care about me, a word I won't say, I don't care about him. You know, please don't swear. Why would I care about a God that doesn't care about me? Why would I care about a God that just shows me how imperfect I am? How pathetic I am? Who wants to serve a God like that? Right? It would be better to believe there's no God than a God that's just highlighting all your dirt. So, in Galatians 2:21, you got it up? I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. If the law was the way for us to become clean, if the law is the place where you would put your confidence in, then it negates the effects of Jesus. So, if I'm stepping on a couple of religious toes, just bear with me here, let the Holy Spirit minister to you. But the law clearly isn't the way for us to relate to God. The law is not the way for us to be able to approach God with confidence. The first scripture. The law is not the way to do that. We cannot come to the throne chasing legalism. The law doesn't offer us anything except a reflection of how much we needed someone to clean us. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace. Grace is what saves us. And this is not of your own doing. So here I'm debunking again the morality. Nothing you can do. It is the gift of God. Who here has ever worked for a gift? Really? I've been tricked to working for gifts. You know, those gifts with strings attached. It's the gift, you know. It's not a result of works, so no one can boast. If our confidence was in ourselves or in something, we could boast in that. Right? But it says here we're saved by grace through faith. If we're saved by grace and it has nothing to do with us, then our confidence should be in the grace, the gospel in Jesus. Because if something is saving me, if something's putting me in a place where I can approach God, clearly that's where I should have my confidence in. Right? Now, I didn't realize this. I mean, like I said, it wasn't something I was actively pursuing. But it came to, what was it, 2014, Yanu, when we finished Bible school? Yeah, okay, he's confirming it. At the end of Bible school, these 5 years have been a rush. When I finished Bible school, I suddenly realized, hey, I can talk to people. I'm not scared of what people think of me. You know, don't get me wrong, there are times where I'm still like, that person doesn't like me. Why, Jesus? I want them to like me. But that's a tangent. Luckily, we don't have to be friends with everyone. Amen. But I really got to a point where I was in a place where I could start asserting myself. You know, I didn't understand why yet. But in the job I had, I youngest senior person in the office, you know, by God's grace, by his favor. My boss really liked me, so that helped then. But, you know, that's just because I was able to be like, okay, I want to learn a new skill set. So all I started doing was doing the other people's work, learning what they were doing. Man, I made a ton of mistakes. Okay? If any of you have tried to learn a new skill, you suck in the beginning. But sucking in the beginning is the first step to being quite good, right? So, I was horrible, man. I've made mistakes where it cost the company a lot of money, but it didn't affect my value. You know, without realizing it, my confidence was not in what I did in my job. So I could learn. I could make mistakes. I was able to be taught, shown how to do it better, and carry on. You know? When your confidence is something in, let's not of the world, and it's rooted in grace, then nothing can touch what you think about yourself. Nothing can shake it. Grace is consistent. Grace is there. It's done. You've got it. No one can change what Jesus has done. Amen? So your confidence, if it's in something solid, no matter what you do, you have something to turn back to feel secure. Where am I now? So, yeah, there we go. Now the third thing, and this is where you start discovering the grace message, you know, if you've been in Grace Life for a while, awesome. You start discovering this grace message, and it's very easy to slip up in this area. So I started building confidence in my own righteousness. So Jesus has done it. He's done the work. I've got his righteousness. Now I need to do something with it. I need to raise up the dead now. The pressure's on. You know? You've got a new revelation. I had a new revelation. Let me not put this on you guys. I had a new revelation of God's grace. And then, boop, fast track back into my works. It's so easy to fall back into that. You know, the world is really all about your performance. So, your self-righteousness, you know, even you might believe it's God's righteousness in you, but if you're relying on something you have to do, it's your self-righteousness. You know, let me open your eyes to that. Righteousness is not something you do. Grace is not something you do. Love is not something you do. Peace is not something you do. It's all what Jesus has done. It's receiving. Romans 5:17. Was I talking that long? Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, and I'll just put in there Adam, it's talking about Adam, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Who's the one? Jesus. Jesus is what we keep falling back on to reign in life. And even if you slip up, there's an abundance of grace. Man, I want to show my notes here. Just be like, abundance of grace. It's big. You know? So even when you receive the revelation of Jesus, you receive the gift of his righteousness. When you slip up, when you fall back into that performance mentality, when you pray for someone to be healed and it doesn't happen, you know, it's all right. There's an abundance of grace to cover your account. If you're a bucket, man, I should have brought some props. If you're a bucket and you're receiving Jesus' grace and it's pouring in there, you know, I'm speaking for myself here because you're all right. I have a couple of holes still. You know, it leaks out. Fortunately, there's an abundance of grace. Jesus pours in more grace than what can leak out. I feel like repeating that. There's enough grace for your account, people. You know? So, the righteousness is something we can only get through the grace of God because of what Jesus has done for us. There is no need for us to try and contribute to what God has done. I promise you, if you try to outgive God, you're going to fall short. It's not going to happen, people. Now I'm going on a tangent again. Philippians 3 verse 9. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Highlighting again, righteousness has nothing to do with us or the law. Our right standing with God relies in our faith in Jesus Christ. Let me just see if I've got this here. Yeah, okay. So faith is a big factor of how we receive this, right? So I'm just going to touch on this very lightly, because what I really want you to focus on is where we have our confidence. But in Romans 5, verse 1 and 2, Romans 5, verse 1 and 2, there we go. Therefore, having been justified by faith, that was faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have been justified by faith. Follow me here. Justified by faith. That is our righteousness. Right? We are made righteous by faith. We are made righteous by faith. We didn't earn righteousness by faith. You guys see the difference here? We are made righteous. Faith is not something you can do to become righteous. Faith is the way you discover just how righteous you are. You discover you have been made righteous. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God because of Jesus, not because of our morals, our standards, our abilities, our skills, our law, how well we keep it, how well we please people, how well we speak, how well we give, how well X, Y, and Z, fill in the blanks for yourself. It's through Jesus. Who of you can change the story of Jesus here? I mean, I could tell you, but it's going to be a lie. We can't change what Jesus has done. Finished. Klar. Finito. If I had a big sign here with a full stop. It's done. So if Jesus is what brings us peace with God, isn't that a solid foundation and where we can place our confidence? Amen? You guys see where I'm going with this? Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Jesus has given you faith as well. You know, previous scripture, Philippians 3 verse 9, the righteousness is activated by faith. We discover how righteous we are through faith. Right? Jesus, in Romans 5 verse 1 and 2, gives us his faith. Faith is not even something you need to go and do and receive. You have it. Discover it. Faith allows you to experience, hear me? Experience God's grace. Not receive his grace. Experience it. God's grace is always there. Amen? To go on a tangent, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. God's grace is with everyone. Amen? Not the believer, not the one who is walking in faith, not the one who is wowing people. God's grace is there for everyone. When you receive Jesus, you receive His faith to experience God's grace. When you have a revelation of just how much God is for you, how He holds nothing against you, you are able to see God as someone who wants to love on you. The faith you get, I'm saying this again, the faith you get helps you to experience God's grace. There, let's go. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Understanding how righteous you are, having your confidence in the grace of God, putting it in Jesus. I mean, I don't know about you guys, who of you have really met like really confident people? You know, they laugh quite easily, don't they? They always seem happy, right? When you have confidence in what Jesus has done for you, you can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. When your confidence is in the right place, nothing can take your happiness away. How to be happy, go get it. Amen? When your confidence is placed in Jesus, you have a hope for any situation you're in. You have a hope for other people's situations they're in. You have a hope for politics. You have a hope for economy. You have a hope for wars that are going on. Right? I've read too many news articles of how South Africa is going to be like Zimbabwe. Where's the hope in that? You know? I have confidence in the grace of God. You know, us as Christians, having our confidence in the right place, we should be what makes South Africa, I almost sounded like Trump for a moment, South Africa great again. You know, we see the hope of the glory of God. You know, Christians should be, we should be the furthest from doom and gloom preaching. Right? None of this end of the world, please repent now, dry of braai, as Bernard would say. You know, we have confidence in the joy and the hope of God. Now, just a disclaimer, joy is not even something you can do. Amen? It's a fruit of knowing where your confidence is. So, to finish off, let's go back to Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. If our confidence is in grace, our confidence is in something unshakable. If our confidence is in Jesus, based on what He has done, your confidence cannot be taken away. When our confidence is placed in the right place, placed in Jesus, placed in God's grace, the throne room will feel like home. Amen? We're not approaching the throne as a slave, fearful of what God thinks of us. When we come to the throne, we're coming home. Amen?
Love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.